This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dennis Rucker is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and he joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Just fine, Coy. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're just coming from a baseball game, is that
right?
I am.
I wanted to see the UVA's opening home game. I caught five innings before I came.
How were they doing? What's it look like?
They were up 5-0, playing very well.
The
field was in superb condition. I was very surprised.
There was some talk that they wouldn't even be able to do it there because it was covered with snow.
They thought they might be playing over at Christopher Newport today, but they were able to get the field in shape, and it was actually beautiful.
Really? That's amazing. Wow.
It is. The grass was green. The base paths were in great condition.
Yeah.
And it didn't get messy at all.
Well, that's fantastic.
During the game.
And they're winning. That's really good. Number one team in the country. How about that? So something that doesn't look good and isn't in good shape is the budget for Albemarle County. And it's actually sort of scary to look at the millions upon millions of dollars that folks like yourself who are charged with figuring out how to pay for essential services, that money is not there. And we've seen the school board come up with some, outside of the box thinking on the schedule, this block schedule, which is right, more like a college type of schedule, to better use the resources that are available. What's going on? Take us behind the scenes, and where are we with this situation now in the county?
Well, our total budget is about $300 million. And after capital, 60% of that goes to schools. The next biggest category of our budget is public safety. Last year, we actually reduced our budget from the prior year by $30 million. We have reduced our general government employee count over the last 2 years by 9%. We cut our capital plan, which is a 5-year capital improvement plan, by $100 million last year. And this year, we're looking at significant additional reductions in local and state revenues. It looks like we may have a reduction of about $21 million to deal with. That will translate into about a $15 million reduction for schools. And schools have sent us a budget, which for the first time in the last 4 or 5 years is not balanced. It's actually out of balance by $8.5 million. They cut about $6.5 million out of their budget, I believe, in the prior year. But they still have to, unless we come up with additional revenues or the state, when they finalize their budget, does not cut them as much as it appeared they were going to be cut 3 or 4 days ago, then that's what they have to deal with.
My gosh. Well, Eric Strucko was in here yesterday with the county school board, and he said, we're still tweaking it. We're still trying to figure out how do we pay for the absolute bare minimums that we have to pay for, because even that money's not there.
Well, we're proud of our school system here. Schools are important for many, many reasons. Those who are interested in bringing more business into the community, people often locate businesses in places that they where they know they've got good schools.
That's one of the number one things companies look at if they want to bring you business is how good are your public schools. Yeah.
In fact, Expansion Magazine, which is really a business magazine, listed our area as having the 6th best public school system in the nation. And that's combined, Charlottesville,
wow,
Albemarle County.
Gosh.
We've been regularly ranked in the top 10% in the state and nation in terms of our standardized test results. All 26 of our schools are fully accredited. Our SAT scores are significantly higher than state and national averages. Our AP test scores are among the highest in the state and the country, and so on. We have 60% of our teachers have advanced degrees. 99.9% of our teachers are considered highly qualified under the standard of learning and no child left behind categories.
Yeah.
So we're very proud of our school system. We do things like teach Spanish in all of our elementary schools. But what I'm seeing is the kind of cuts that they're entertaining may result in taking our system from an excellent school system.
One of the best in the country.
One of the best in the country to something that's more of an average system, because They have to do the things that are mandated. So what you see cut out of the budget are the things that really have resulted in our system achieving excellence. And I'm really scared that I'm really nervous that we're going to see cuts that are going to reduce the quality of education in our community. I think that's both in the county and in the city when I'm looking at their the city's budget.
We've got Dennis Rooker live in studio. Let me ask you to grab one of those headphones and throw them on. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Dennis Rooker is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and we're honored to have him with us this afternoon. Greg is on line one. Greg, you go right ahead. You're on with Dennis.
Hey, Dennis, this is Greg. I've come to some of your meetings, and I really appreciate what you do, and you have a vast knowledge, and I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you, Greg.
There are a lot of people in this county in the trades, and I'm one of them. The employment, since December of 08, this all crashed, and a lot of people basically not working, and we own real estate in this county. And as much as we don't want to hurt the kids in high school, any kind of increase in taxes would just be that extra straw that a lot of people can't afford. And I think if private sector people are suffering and the revenue is not coming because of the problem with making money now and creating business, I think that, you know, the public sector has to go along with it, because the people who, you know, there are a lot of people can afford a $500 increase in taxes on their real estate, but there are a lot of people who can't. And I just feel that the school systems and all the service and everything in the county has to follow what's going on in the private sector. And I just like a comment, and I'm going to hang up.
Greg, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Dennis?
Well, I think Greg obviously has a point. I mean, it's our job to try to achieve a reasonable balance between taxes and services. I don't think anybody here is talking about increasing the funds that are available for education this year. What we're talking about is a massive decreases from the state. The state has crammed those down to the localities. The state also includes a lot of mandates on localities that have to be met. And so, you know, we're unfortunately, localities are the place of last resort. We can't cram down to anybody else. Federal government can require the states to do things. The states can require localities to do things. And what we're seeing is the state pulling back from providing funding in a number of crucial services like education, like transportation, which has been – transportation funding has virtually disappeared. Our funding for secondary road funds has gone down 91% over the last 6 years. And we're told –
Say that again. The money that's available for Albemarle County for transportation –
right.
Has gone down 91% in just 6 years.
That's right. Secondary road allocation, which is almost all of our roads are secondary roads. That's for new. In other words, there is virtually no new construction money available for localities throughout the state. The maintenance funds have gone down over the last 2 years from $13 million to $7 million in our area. So Greg's comment is certainly well taken. I don't think anybody's talking about a tax increase that would result in the average taxpayer paying $500 more in taxes. I do think we need
to... And there's no way you're going to come up with a... Even if you did increase taxes, there's no way you're going to come up with enough to cover the gap that the schools are facing right now.
No, what we're going to try to do is cushion that gap somewhat, I think, and what I'm interested in doing. And the, you know, our tax rate, we had an efficiency study done by the Virginia Commonwealth University Public Policy Institute. And one of the first things they say in their write-up is Albemarle County has a low tax rate. And, in fact, our tax rate at 74.2 cents per hundred is one of the lowest of any urbanized county in the state. And if you look at our effective tax rate, it is – I don't think there's any county that has a measurable population, something over 60,000 or so, that comes – that is as low as ours. Ours is our actual effective rate – is 53 cents per hundred. And that's if you take all of the appraised value of property in the county and you divide it into the real estate tax revenues, you come up with 53 cents per hundred. The reason for that is about over 60% of the land in the county is in land use. That property pays, the owners of that property pay taxes at about 1/9 of the rate of other taxpayers.
So more than 60% of the land in Albemarle County is currently in land use, which allows that landowner to pay substantially less taxes than they would otherwise pay, right?
Yeah, the effect is that they pay what amounts to about 8 cents per hundred instead of the 74 cents per hundred. So that's what the county collects on about 60% of its land. We also have, of course...
And the rest of the 40-some percent, they got to make up the difference.
That's right. And then you have, of course, the revenue sharing agreement, which takes 10 cents off the tax rate.
Goes right to Charlottesville. Yeah.
We have a tax relief for the elderly and disabled, whereby those folks who qualify do not pay the full rate on taxes. So at the end of the day, you throw all these things in, and we have an effective tax rate of 53 cents, which, you know, I think Albemarle County, and I won't take credit for this because I think we've had a terrific county executive and his staff that over the years have operated the county in an extremely efficient manner. And we are continuing always to look for ways to be more efficient because, you know, the first place you have to look when you have budget problems is to make yourself more efficient. We had the study done by Virginia Commonwealth University. They've made some recommendations which have been implemented. We have internal studies of efficiency going on all the time to try to improve our operations. And our website, for example, the Albemarle County has been selected the last 7 years as one of the top 10 counties in the country in terms of its use of technology. That's a money saver. We now do a huge percentage of the transactions in the county through the website.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Dennis Rooker. He's a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. The phone lines are open if you've got a question or a comment at 977-1070. Dennis, what are your thoughts about Rob Bell's bill that would take money from the city and move it to the county in light of the revenue sharing agreement to get more money to schools?
Well, you know, we're under financial stress, and so is the city. And I would certainly love to add an additional $2.6 million to the county coffers for education. But, you know, I did not vote to support that bill. And it passed on a 4-2 vote at the Board of Supervisors. I think it was a very close case. But the $2.6 million to the county is given the size of our budget versus the city, that's about like $6 million on the city's budget. So the gain to Albemarle County was really not comparable to the harm that was going to be inflicted on the city in terms of the percent impact on their budget. The other thing is that, you know, there are certainly two different arguments for what the merits of this. The county's argument is that, hey, this comes off of our taxes. This comes off of, it's defined as a percentage of the taxes off of real property. And so that should be counted as city wealth, so to speak, in that wealth factor, and not counted in county wealth. The city's argument, which is a reasonable argument, the city's argument is, well, the composite index was in place at the time the revenue sharing agreement was negotiated and signed, and in fact it's mentioned in that agreement. And there's no mention of adjusting the composite index as a result of revenue being paid, money being paid under
the contract.
You think
that's because at the time people had no idea what the county would eventually be paying? Because I know, but within the first 10 years, I think that the payment was like $23 million total, and now we're paying like $18 million just in 1 year.
Well, one can certainly argue whether or not it was wise or a good deal. And I think you said you read the Lindstrom paper.
Yeah, I'm reading it now. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And what you see, and there's a history that was done of the revenue sharing agreement written by Tim Lindstrom, who was a former Albemarle County supervisor. And Tim points out that during those negotiations, the city wanted 25 cents on the county's tax dollar. And it wasn't until the last 4 or 5 days of the negotiations that they came down to the 10 cents that the county was asking for, and a deal was done. And that deal was done in a climate where Harrisonburg had just annexed virtually all the commercial property in Rockingham County, and that had gone up to the Virginia Supreme Court, and they had prevailed. Harrisonburg had prevailed.
Yeah.
And so the county was looking at the potential loss of Route 29 commercial district.
Legally they didn't have a chance in court to prevent annexation if the city wanted the land.
It looked like the city would probably prevail, and at least under the, you know, if you looked at precedent. And so was it a good deal at the time? Yeah, I think it was probably a good deal at the time. It was approved by over 60% of the county voters in a referendum voted on by the board. And you know, is it a good deal today? Well, if there's a moratorium in place on annexation, but that moratorium also has a sunset clause in it, and periodically that expires, and the legislature, you know, has decided to renew it a couple of times, but they could decide not to renew it. Uh, the value of the land and the value of the Route 29 property to the county in terms of annual tax revenues exceeds the $18 million that we pay the city. So is it a good deal today? Well, it would be a good deal if they tomorrow could annex that property and did.
Yeah. What, Dennis, what about the this claim on the part of some folks in the city that they're going to have to reevaluate all the cooperative agreements and they might just take that, what I have heard now, according to David Descano, is closer to $2.8 million. They might just take that money out from the city so that it ends up being a zero-sum game to the county.
Well,
is that an idle threat or is that, do you think there's really something there?
I mean, that's a two-edged sword. Because when we have cooperative deals with the city, you know, we give them things and they give us things, and I don't think they have complete power to unilaterally negotiate any arrangement. But you know, we cooperate on a huge number of things with the city. In fact, when that utilization study was done, the efficiency study I mentioned, one of the things they mentioned is that Charlottesville and Albemarle County cooperate in more areas than any other two communities in the state of Virginia. You know, we have a regional jail, a regional water authority, a regional sewer authority, Dardantown Park, the transportation MPO, the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission for regional planning, KTEC, a regional, which is a city-county school, the Ivy Creek Special Needs School, the Commission on Children and Families, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, the Airport Authority, and so on and so forth. There, I can name, you know, 15 more. Areas.
Would you like to see more?
Yeah, certainly. We are always looking for ideas to serve our taxpayers in a more efficient way. And one of the ways we do that is by cooperating and working with the city in areas where we've got overlap.
Yeah. Well, we certainly have a lot of overlap with the schools, and we're hearing more and more of we need to consolidate some of these school services. And I've heard beginning with perhaps busing and transportation, that might be a good place to start. Do you think that's something that we should be studying?
Well, two of the things I mentioned just now were KTEC and the Ivy Creek Special Needs School. So we have two schools that are basically jointly operated with the city.
So that door's already been
open.
That
door's open. I think our school boards are continually looking at ways that they can do that. But you also have the practical political realities of when you start talking about redistricting, it becomes a hotly emotional topic. And any change which would result in sending county students to city schools sounds good to a lot of people until the details get rolled out and you start having students assigned here and there that are no longer going to the school system they thought that they were in. So,
oftentimes influences where people buy their homes. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah. Very true. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't have those discussions and we shouldn't try to pursue efficiencies in that manner, but I don't think we can ignore the political realities out there also.
Yeah. We're talking with Dennis Rooker of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Before we let you go, what's front burner for you right now? Is it the budget? Is anything else that you're working on and looking at right now that perhaps you don't think is getting enough attention or hasn't been explained to your liking in the media?
Well, I think the most important thing we have in front of us right now are the fiscal issues we face. It dwarfs everything else because if you're not fiscally sound, you can't do many other things. And I think, you know, we are fiscally sound. We have we're the smallest county in the country with a AAA bond rating. We are one of only, I think, about 30 counties in the country that has a AAA bond rating. So, you know, it's important for us to maintain that fiscal soundness. And certainly at a time when we're looking at a $21 million budget deficit, which can heavily impact library services, school services, police services, parks and recreation services.
Yeah, everything.
The things that people in the county count on. And part of the things that help make this area one of the highest quality places to live in the country. We have to pay attention to that. We got to find solutions that allow us to enable those services to continue as best we can in a time of fiscal stress.
Yeah.
And I think that really has our attention. Certainly, and it dwarfs everything else that's out there.
So from where you sit, this is not a case of, well, less money is going to government, and some folks would say that's a very good thing because it'll make government be more efficient, and they'll have to cut back. From where you sit, this severity is so great in terms of the lack of money that's coming to Albemarle County this year that it's cutting into essential services that the county recognizes that you have to do, and so we're going to be cutting into essential services, and it's not going to be pretty.
No, I mean, you're going to see potential cutbacks in the sheriff's department from the state. I think the last budget I saw from the state had about $800,000 coming out of constitutional officers such as the sheriff's office.
That's public safety,
The clerk's office, the courts, et cetera, and the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. We already had Denise Lunsford come in when she thought she was losing $30,000 in her budget from the state, saying she wasn't going to be able to prosecute misdemeanors. The cuts we're looking at now are substantially more grave than that.
Dennis Rooker, he's a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Dennis, thank you for coming in. We'll do this again soon. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.